As I was reading the lesson tonight, I was just kind of blown away by the whole thing with Nehemiah, because Nehemiah had a real problem in his hands. You know, next week we'll see this. But even in chapter 4 tonight, as we continue our study in chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah, our God will fight for us, that God's work will be attacked and mocked and criticized when you're really trying to do the work of God. And surely that is our heart, each one of us here individually. We want the best for our families. We want the best for ourselves. We want the best for the Lord. But then you have these people that become irritants in your life, like Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians. And to me, it's amazing because in the first six verses that we did last week, let me read them and we'll start with verse 7. He says, the first, that there are four things literally that the enemy will do as opposing the work of the Lord. Number one, we learn that it's ridicule. Ridicule always seems to bring, you know, a downcast countenance. It just disappoints people. And yet at the same time, when ridicule came to the people of God, the work of God was being criticized. And yet if you know that God has called you to do what you're doing, it doesn't matter what people think of you. You got to fulfill it. You got to do what God's called you to do. And it's always exciting when you have people that believe in the vision that God's given to you to do it, that are backing you up and they're praying for you and they're behind you. This guy Nehemiah was such a leader, such an incredible, you know, guy that not only led the people and excited them and got them to be together to do the work of the Lord, that it came to that place where they were not only being ridiculed in verse 1, it says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he became so furious and very indignant and began to mock the Jews. You know, to me, I told you last week that I get so blown away when parents or grandparents get upset when someone of their grandkids or sons or daughters get saved and come out of drugs or alcohol or whatever problem they may be in, and they get upset because now God is doing a work in their lives. And instead of being excited, being happy, say, man, I'm so glad you found Jesus in your life. They always say, you found religion finally. And it's so different from religion. Religion doesn't change any person's life. Christianity does. Because it comes through a personal relationship of that person submitting, surrendering my life to God completely and fully. And saying, here I am, Lord. I'm sick and tired of my life. I want you to do a work in my life. They were rebuilding the wall. We need to rebuild the walls in our lives. We need to come to that place of examination, surveying our lives. You know, is everything okay at home? Personally, is everything good with me? Is my soul at peace with God? And as you begin, like Nehemiah, to inspect the walls and to inspect your life, and as he gathered together the people and began to work on the wall, always expect that when you're trying to better yourself in the Lord, or you're trying to do involvement, to get involved in some ministry or whatever capacity in the ministry that you want to do something for God, people will become angry against you. Especially people that are not involved. They get mad. They get angry. Just like Sanballat here. Verse 2, he says, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria. And he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside himself, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their walls. He was using the metaphor of a fox, because foxes can get up on a fence and they can walk and not even hear them, and they can even on the ground walk and they actually don't leave any footprints. They're so light in their feet. And really here, they were actually, Tobiah is joining in the fun and mocking and ridiculing And there are those that gather together in the same crowd. They become one. And it can become very discouraging when you're trying to do what's right and yet they're trying to persuade you to do evil. You've got to make a stand. A stand before God and before men. Sometimes, even with your own family, you have to make a stand when they ridicule you and they come against you. You know, we're around Christmas time pretty soon and there'll be gathering together some families with, for Christmas. And there'll be families that will not celebrate the way you're going to celebrate this year because you're a believer. And you will be criticized. You will be put down. Some of you will end up going home upset and mad and maybe even crying because you can't believe the way they're treating you now that you're a Christian and that you believe in Christ. But that's the way life is. You were called to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. You were called to a life of sacrifice, to a life of giving of yourself, to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, to deny yourself. Nehemiah was such a person. And the people that he gathered to himself were people like that because they had a mind to work for the Lord. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, "Here," he begins by prayer, "hear our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity." He begins to respond through prayer. He doesn't even waste his time in rebuking him or talking to them. He goes right to the throne of God and says, "Lord, these are the people that are bugging me. Take care of them." Unlike Nehemiah. He's like David, you know. And then notice in verse 5, "Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." Verse 6, "But so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to have its height, for the people had a mind to work." Listen. We can never, ever get our eyes off Christ. You can't. You got to have that mind of Christ. And it's so outstanding, so beautiful, when you have people that are like-minded in doing the work of the Lord. I mean, this is an impossibility, and yet they build the walls in 52 days. 52 days. They did it. And yet it was the reason that the enemy was coming. They were oppressing. They were, trying to dismay the people at the same time because they had a mind to work together in the Lord. They were able to accomplish the work of God. So the first thing that happened was ridicule. Here's the second thing that will happen. Intimidating plots, threatenings will come now. When you really get serious and you have a mind to work for the Lord and people see that you really have been transformed and you've been renewed and you have been born again of the Holy Spirit and it's no longer a joke, it's no longer a rumor, but something really has happened, then expect to be persecuted big time. People are going to try to intimidate you. Look what he says in verse 7. Now the reaction of the Jews now. "And now it came to pass," or it happened, "when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being to be closed, that they became very, very angry." Why? Because as you start sealing the gaps on the wall, means what? The enemy can't get through. You're setting protection. You see? And the enemy is always looking for those gaps in your life. Always. How can I get into that person's life and begin to hassle him and to destroy him? It is of importance, like these people, that as the people of God were restoring the gaps and they began to seal the gaps, that we in our own personal lives, spiritually speaking, that we seal every gap that may be there in your life spiritually so that you are safe in the Lord. The enemy hates you when you do that. Watch what happens in verse 8. And then all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Notice the threat against the Jews. Violence now. It's no longer words. Now it's physical, what? Physical abuse. We're going to come and we're going to teach you a lesson. Persecution will come. I mean, I hate to say this, my own family. But I remember very clearly when my sister, my younger sister, not the youngest one, but the second to the youngest, she got married. They were having the reception. We were Christians already, and we went over, and there was, you know, because we were Christians, believe it or not, you're going to laugh about this, but we ended up running down the street, and they were chasing us. Because I didn't want to fight my dad and, you know, everybody else. So we just got my kids and my wife, and we started running to the car so we can get away from them, you know. But they were like, behind us. They hated us for what we stood. And I made a decision that day, you know what? I'm not going back until their heart has changed. And that was my mom, that was my dad, that was my brothers and sisters. You have to make a stand for righteousness. Because what happens is when people don't have God, they don't care. They don't care how they hurt you. And they can hurt your wife, they can hurt your children, they can hurt your husband, they can hurt your grandchildren. And it's really important that you use wisdom as a child of God, because you're not really hating them. You love them and you pray for them. But at the same time, you have to protect your family. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. Protecting the people of God. You have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Where there's verbal abuse, where there's drinking, where there's, you know, filth. Am I going to continue to just go there and be abused by the people that I love and they don't love me? There comes a time when you have to cut them off. And you pray for them. And you love them. And you wait on God to work. Like for me, 10 years, and God did work. In my father, in my mother, my brother, my sisters. God worked through prayer. So I think it's really of importance what the lesson is here tonight, the way he's telling us to do it. With all these problems, all these situations, and the conspiracy here to come against them and make an attack against the people of God. Watch again Nehemiah, what he does. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You see? That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. We don't need to partake with them in violence. We don't need to partake in making excuses for ourselves, because we know in your own heart that you love them, but they're not understanding. They're natural people. We are spiritual people. There's a difference. The natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14 says what? The natural man does not understand the things of God. They're foolishness to him. You see? Foolishness to him. And so what do? We set up the watch and we pray for God to work in case the enemy attacks. Then we can defend ourselves. Verse 10, notice the third thing, discouragement. And then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish still that they were not able to build the wall. I mean, believe it or not, because we are human, what happens? I mean, we try to be strong, but we become discouraged. Discouraged. Think of how many wives and husbands and children and grandchildren become discouraged because of this situation within the home. Within the family, or maybe with your employer or employees. It's really important that we understand, because here the people begin to be discouraged because of the enemy. That's a tool of the enemy to bring discouragement to the people of God constantly, to keep you from doing the work of God. If we can discourage a person, guess what? They'll give up. They won't continue to do the work of God. And that's exactly what they wanted to do against these beautiful people of God. And Nehemiah was the leader. We are never to let, you know, discouragement get to us. But we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. When David was coming to the camp and his wives and children were taken, and they were taken by the enemy, he came into the camp, and those soldiers that were with him, when they found out that their wives and their children were taken captive too, they wanted to kill David. And David, having nobody, he turned to the Lord and he said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's the only way you can really go to the Lord. He will encourage you. If you have family, friends that won't encourage you, the Lord is always there to encourage you. David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was very discouraged. And yet, the enemy brings this about. There are always people that want, you know, they want to try to discourage us from walking with God, serving the Lord, going to church, getting involved in church. You know, they like to tuck stuff in our ears. And instead of encouraging us, they're trying to put down, they're trying to discourage, they're trying to, you know, build themselves up and in a better situation so that they can actually be over you, and then you can be bummed out, and then you can say, you know what, I think I'm going to quit. I think I'm not going to do that. And inside, they get happy because they know now they got you where they want you. That is the work of the enemy. That's not the work of God. The work of God is to lift up, to encourage, to build up. Never to tear down, never to discourage. We ought not to let our evaluation depress or defeat. Nothing is too hard for our God that we serve tonight. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, everything is possible. Everything. And at the same time, notice they took protect what? They took practical steps to protect themselves. What was that? They prayed. They prayed. Verse 11 to 23, here is the fourth thing. Fear will come next. Fear is an amazing thing. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to stop. So now it's no longer sending letters or communicating by word, but now they're trying to do what killed each one of them. That's murder. And by intimidation, they're trying to bring what? Fear. Satan always strategizes by opposing people of God through fear. Through fear. So that you're afraid. Fear always comes when I forget who the Lord is and where His presence is over my life. That's when fear comes to my life. We should never be afraid of threats. We should never be afraid of words. We should never be afraid of any person, but we should put our full confidence and trust in the Lord. Always, fully, completely. Because if God is for me, then who can be against me? Romans chapter 8, read it. God is for us, and He won't let you down. I guarantee it. He will not let you down. People will let you down, but never the Lord. And so now they're threatening with murder. Look at verse 12. And so it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, not once, 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Notice that. So here again, they repeated their dismissal message 10 times. And sometimes, you know, with our friends, can become our worst enemies, and even our family can become our worst enemies at many times in our lives. Exhaustion. They want to bring us to a place of exhaustion where we can give up the strength of the laborers. Now is ready to give out. Fear attacks their hearts, and they're saying, you know what? We might as well quit. Think of how many people have quit. How many people have quit because of fear, discouragement. Sad. But Nehemiah is not about to quit because he knows the will of God. Look what he says. Verse 13. Therefore, I, Nehemiah, the leader, what does he do? He positioned the men behind the lower parts of the wall, at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, and with notice with their swords and spears and their bows. He's a man after my own heart. Notice that. Not empty-handed with weapons. Why? To protect the walls of Jerusalem. But yet, for us, we don't fight with weapons that are carnal. We fight what? With spiritual weapons, which is prayer and the Word of God. When our enemy comes against us, you see? Here Nehemiah took the position of that great leadership, and Nehemiah organizes the people to do what? To defend the city, to defend their homes, to defend their families. And notice that he puts them all by families so they're not separated from their families. A family that's going to pray together. This is important. That families pray together and stay together. Very important. Nehemiah knew the value of the family. He knew the strategy that he wanted to take upon the walls because of these enemy coming and putting families together. It brings strength upon the walls. Imagine husband, wife, children together and fighting together for what? For a righteous cause, to defend the walls in Jerusalem. Then he says in verse 14, notice, Nehemiah here will deal now with the situation in three ways. Notice number one, he will improve the defense on the walls. Number two, he's now only thinking seriously, but now he's also again praying. Notice. And I looked and I got up and I said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Underline that. Do not be afraid of them. What else? Remember, encouragement, remember the Lord great and awesome. He says, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You see? Here he is encouraging them to stand together. As the enemy uses the tool of fear, what cures fear? Getting our eyes on the Lord cures or heals our fear. Get your eyes on the Lord. Let me read to you Psalm 23. This is a cool psalm. This is a psalm we always pray at, we read at the funerals, but I think it's very proper for tonight. Real quickly, I read it from the Old King James. Really cool. He says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, if God is your shepherd, what else do you want? Nothing. True satisfaction. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Now you got to get the mind of a shepherd. You know, sheep cannot drink where the water is running fast. They're dumb and they'll drown. So what does a shepherd do? He looks for a calm place where he can take these dumb sheep so they can drink. Because sheep are like that. A sheep can eat and have a full belly, and if he turns over on the grass, guess what? When the enemy comes, he can't get up. He can't get up. So what does the shepherd do? He helps him to his feet. You see? Beautiful pictures here. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your sinners, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before the presence of my enemies, and thou anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love it. That is true security in the Lord. God is for me. Who can be against me? Do not fear them. Remember, the Lord is with you, and he's great and he's awesome. And he funds and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And then watch this, verse 15. And it happened. When our enemies heard that it was known to us, he said, when they heard that we knew, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the walls, everyone to work. What a beautiful picture. Imagine that. They were so discouraged, so bummed out. And when Nehemiah, the leader, spiritual leader, got up and shared with them the word and shared with them in prayer, and they saw his strength in the Lord, they got encouraged and they said, forget it, man. We're with you, Nehemiah. Let's go back and work. I love it. And that's what we want to do together here at Calvary Chapel. As we're continuing to build inside and outside and remodel and rebuild, you know, so that we can beautify the place for you and for your families. And at the same time, not giving up in prayer and watching what God is doing and what He wants to do. We can begin like them to see that they united with one another. Notice that. And they begin to work for God once again. And again, here we see what? Remember who the Lord is. Don't forget that. Who is the Lord in your life? And then what? Verse 16. Notice this. And so it was. From that time on, that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears and the shields and the bows, and notice, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Notice that. This is the entrance to the city of Jerusalem now. And now it is what? It is corrected. It's armed. There's security. There's stableness. And everybody feels peace and feels at home and feels safe because of the work of God in each one of their lives. You see? So here we see the workers now getting ready to take arms and to wait. Verse 17, and then those who built on the wall and those who carried the burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held the weapon. What a beautiful picture, you know? And what do? With one hand we work and with the other hand we have the Word of God. You see? Same thing. I mean, we don't have spears and we don't have swords. But what do? Whenever, you know, we get up in the morning or the afternoon or evening, wherever we do 24/7, we have with us what? The Word of God. I better see you come to church with your Bibles. The Word of God. You know, I've gotten used to all these years, wherever I go, restaurant, wherever I go, I always have my Bible with me. Why? Not that I want to impress people, but that's a sword. You never know when you're going to have to use it on someone. To share the love of Christ, of course. You know, here it is. But it's so cool because, you know, so many times you see Christians, you know, and maybe you're embarrassed to carry your, you know, and I'm not talking about a huge Bible, you know. But I think it's kind of cool if you carry your little Bible with you. Why? You might have an opportunity, you know, at the grocery store or the mall, wherever you are. I mean, even in the bathroom, believe it or not. To be able to share the gospel with someone, you know. Someone that is in need. And I love what he said here. They stood with one hand, they were working, and the other hand, the Word of God, their weapons. And then check this out. This is so cool. He goes on to say this, verse 18. And every one of the builders had his sword geared at his side, and he built. And then one sound of the trumpet was beside me. So the trumpet was a shofar. You know, they use them for the wake up in the morning. They call them to a meal or a warning. So they were very important, those trumpets. And here now, this is a call now to them. And check this out, verse 19. And then I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Look, you guys, it's not going to be done in one day. The work of God is so great. I mean, I look at what God has done here in 33 years. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are you going to do in the next 20 or 30 years? But at the same time, if God is going to continue to build the wall, and because, like he said here, the work of God is very extensive. One person can't do it. And we can't be separated. We have to be united. And we have to work closely together in doing the work of God. And that's one of the reasons we have our prayer meetings on Friday nights, you know, once a month, so that we can get together as a body to pray for one another, needs that each one may have. And then on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, so that you can come to church. This is a place. That's why we have this place open all the time. Why? Because a lot of churches are closing down their doors on Sunday nights. Now there's no more services. They're doing something else. But we want you to be in the house of the Lord where we are open every single night of the week so that you can come here with any one of your needs and you can feel at home in the house of the Lord. this is important. To me, it's very important. To the church here, very important. Because we want to see you grow. We want to see you develop. We want to see you reach out to the next generation and to the following generations so that God can continue to do this tremendous work that He already started and that He's going to finish. And we believe that this revival happening around the country today, God is moving in a mighty way among the young people. Today's young people are not like the hippie days where there was a lot of love. There's a lot of angry people today. A lot of young people are angry. Angry at their parents. Angry at the world. And they need the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And we can give it to them. Because God had given to us. He gave us that opportunity to love Him. And so here Nehemiah is bringing in this whole thing on the work of God. And then check this out. This is so neat. Verse 20. And wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Why? Our God will fight for us. These are beautiful, beautiful, comforting words to them and to us. What is he saying? Hey, put your confidence in the Lord. What does it sound like? It sounds like Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul the Apostle speaking of the armor of God. He says this, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice that. And take unto you the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit, and watching, you see, pray and watch, and watching, what? Thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, I just don't pray for me. I pray for you. And you pray for me. And we pray for others that are outside the body of Christ. Why? Because God will fight for us. God is fighting our battles. God loves you so much that He's willing to do what? Anything for you because of His love. And Nehemiah comes to that place in his own life as he stands up as a leader and he's teaching the people the Word of God and he's teaching them how to defend themselves with prayer. Why? Because he's the example. He's teaching them. If you really want to get over your problems, pray. God will hear your prayer. And surely He has for each one of us here. Verse 21. And so we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak even until the stars appeared, so they never gave it up. Verse 22. And at the same time, I, Nehemiah, also said to the people, let each man and his servants stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be on guard by night and working partly by day. They never stop. As a matter of fact, you will see here in the next verse that they sit on that wall where they never really change their clothes, but they wash their clothes and put on the same clothes. Notice, verse 23. And so neither I nor my brother, my servants, nor men of the guard who follow me took off their clothes. You know, I mean, they smell, but that's all right. You know? Watch what it says. Except that everyone took them off for washing. You see? I mean, these people were committed to do the will of God. And remember, if the Lord fights for us, it is not our battles, but it's the Lord. Our confidence has to be in Jesus Christ. And the confidence of the Christian is giving what? Expression in hymns, in songs, in prayers, the Psalms, so many prayers, so many songs. Whenever you feel down, turn to the Psalms and pray and sing out the Psalms. It will blow you away. There's a little hymn that goes like this by Elliot Jang. He said, "We are on thee, our shield, our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keepings tender. We actually nest and tilt. In the name of thy Lord we go. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pleading, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. One day the Lord will give to us his soldiers, each one of us the crown of life, because we've been fighting those battles on those walls, protecting not only God's kingdom, but protecting our wives, protecting our children, protecting our husbands, protecting everything that it is the Lord's. One day God will give you a great reward. If you're faithful to the small things, he'll give you the greater things. You got to pray. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God, to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies, Lord. Father, I pray for this tremendous chapter, Lord God, that it would not be wasted in our lives, but that it would take deep root within our hearts and minds, Lord. Father, that we would practice what we've been hearing for the last 2 weeks, Lord. And Lord God, that as we go home tonight, as we wake up tomorrow morning, by your grace, that we would start out by prayer. And then throughout the day, watching, Lord God. And Lord, getting and studying your word, Father, we pray every day so that we can feed upon thy word, Lord God, and we can stay steady on course, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, tonight for those that have come with great expectation, Father, maybe many problems, maybe some very hard decisions to be made. Father, I pray for every husband, every wife, every single person here. And Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out to each one individually. And Father, that no one here tonight would leave without your peace, without your love. And Father, with great assurance that you fight our battles, Lord God. And I'm going to ask, as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, that if there's anybody here among us tonight that doesn't know the Lord, somebody invited you or you came on your own, or you've been here weeks past, but you've never really been born again of the Holy Spirit, and you want to become part of the kingdom of God, you want God's divine protection, the first thing you have to do is you have to look at your life, examine it, and then look at your sins and repent of them, and then come by faith and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. He'll write your name in the book of life, and he'll take your sins and cast them as far as the east to the west, bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and remember them never, ever again. And he'll give you the assurance of eternal life tonight, if you want it. And I'm going to ask you, whether you're young or old, I don't care who you are, if you want Jesus Christ, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to walk out onto the aisle, and I want you to come up here to the front of the stage by the staircase here, and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to worship. As we worship, you get up and you come now. Those of you that have come, I want you guys to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ just to come into your hearts and secure you, cleanse you, wash you, and give you eternal life tonight. Okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.